Rookie Profile Series. I'm your host, Matt Higgs, the FF Educator, here, as always, with John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. And this is the Michael Penix Jr. Rookie Profile episode. Michael Penix Jr. put it all together in his final collegiate campaign. Sky-high stock heading into the NFL draft process. But when you dig a little bit deeper, John, there are some very legitimate concerns and hesitations, a lot to take in for fantasy football managers. We're going to help you understand the tape, understand the analytics, and put it all into perspective with some actionable fantasy football advice. Starting, John, with the background and overview, we have a long journey for Michael Penix Jr. to get to the point that we are at now.
And Matt, I have been on the roller coaster ride with Michael Penix for the last 5 years. Up and down. I've had many different opinions and perspectives on this young man, and I feel really good that I understand the totality of his game right now and where he can succeed. He's a sixth-year quarterback who finally hit his ceiling guiding Washington to the CFP championship game. And please, everyone, if you just saw the game against Michigan, that is not the way to judge a quarterback. I know there are people who probably just plugged in Penix watching Texas and Michigan. You need to watch at least 10 games over a variety of seasons to understand how far this young man has come and what he can do at the NFL level. But over the past two seasons, Matt, he has been unbelievable. He has passed for over 9,500 yards and 67 touchdown passes. In 2023, he was the team captain of the Huskies, Maxwell Award winner, first-team All-American by Walter Camp, Heisman Trophy finalist, and Davy O'Brien Award finalist. He broke the school record with 4,903 passing yards, which was second most in Pac-12 history. And Matt, I know you like the Pac-12. That's an impressive number when you look at the quarterbacks who've come out of that conference in the last 30 years. Go back to two seasons. In 2022, he led the FBS in passing yards per game with 357, and he finished first in total offense that year. He set single-season school records for total offense per game, and total offense per play. He was the AP Comeback Player of the Year, third-team All-America, second-team All-Pac-12, and the Manning Award finalist. So why did he win the Comeback Player of the Year, Matt? He had played four seasons at Indiana, 2018 to 2021, and I have been watching him since his second season at Indiana. He redshirted in 2018, so that's why he's a sixth-year player here. And he suffered a season-ending injury in both 2019 and in 2022. And that is a little concern, but the draft capital will tell us ultimately what the NFL thinks about the injuries long-term. In 2020 is when he popped off in my book. That was in COVID, and he was awesome for the Hoosiers. And if you weren't watching, the Hoosiers probably had their best year in the last decade. I think at one point they were like 4-1. He was second team all Big Ten, and he was the team captain back-to-back years for Indiana. In high school, Matt, he was a number 13 pro-style passer and number 54 prospect in the state of Florida. He played center field on the baseball team, and he ran track and field. Matt, I do believe he has one of the most beautiful deep throwers in this year's draft. He was awesome. But what does your film study say about his arm strength and his ability to connect with his pass catchers?
Yeah, you know, Michael Penix Jr. is somebody who I think you really benefit from a full tape review on him. I think it's really easy when you're watching Washington live and they're putting up some big scores and you're seeing those big play catches. It's really easy to get caught up in the Michael Penix Jr. hype. But when you break down the tape, there are some limitations and there are some very real concerns I have. But let's start with the positives, John. You talk about arm talent. He absolutely has a pretty deep ball. You know, you'll hear a lot of folks across the board talk about Michael Penix Jr. and the deep ball. Just like you said, John, it's got good touch. It's got good arc. He feels it well. He'll lead his receivers downfield. He's a confident passer. He's clearly built up that confidence over time. And in terms of processing, I think he works through his progressions, you know, pretty well in terms of what he was asked to do in the Washington offense. He's comfortable working in the pocket, and he's also fairly elusive within the pocket itself. He's got a good sack avoidance rate. And so if you're talking about a guy, you know, you're thinking about arm talent and you're thinking about the pocket, there's a lot to like about Michael Penix Jr. But there are limitations, like I said. Let's talk about his accuracy a little bit. He does lead his receivers downfield well, and he does have some good anticipation, but I do think that his accuracy is overstated. You look at the numbers are going to favor Michael Penix, and they're going to make a strong argument for his accuracy. But when you watch him really consistently, you'll see he's missing his receivers a lot. He has a tendency to throw behind his receivers. He has a tendency to throw short to his receivers. I got to tell you, John, my evaluation of Rome Odunze and Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk actually improved after watching the Michael Penix tape, because you see just how often those three guys, especially Rome Odunze, do bail out Michael Penix Jr. He throws up a lot of jump balls. You know, a lot of those great highlight reel plays that you're thinking about in your head when I say the word Rome Odunze, a lot of those are highlight reel plays. Because he's compensating for missed accuracy for Penix Jr. So I do think it's overstated, and I don't think the numbers tell the full story. I wouldn't use the word accurate to necessarily lead his profile. I don't think that's accurate, pun intended, right? And the mechanics, John, the mechanics are really what get me. He has an elongated sidearm motion. I can't tell you how frustrating that is, right? A sidearm is usually a quicker release, but he has an elongated, it's a long release, it's a slow release, and he doesn't come over the top. I think it's a big reason that I have concerns with his accuracy. I think those things are one-to-one. And you talk about, you know, his ability to feel comfortable working in the pocket. He was behind, you know, one of, if not the best offensive lines in the country with Washington last year against primarily Pac-12 defenses, which didn't make him feel that pressure. So it'll be really interesting to see what the offensive line he lines up behind in the NFL is. If you're rooting for Michael Penix, you need to believe in that offensive line he's playing behind, because he's going to need extra time with how long it takes him to get that ball out. The other thing that I'll add in here with Michael Penix Jr., and this is, I feel like we're brushing past this from a fantasy perspective, and we can't. Folks, he will live in the pocket at the next level. I know we saw Michael Penix's 40 time in a straight line. He ran well. He was always athletic. That was his thing at Indiana. John was talking about his success in Indiana. It was athleticism. Why did he stop running when he went to Washington? He kept hurting himself. He lost that explosiveness through injury and just through, you know, needing to rein in his game. He's not going to be a scrambler. He's not going to be a guy who gets 5 or 6 rushing touchdowns at the next level, which means for him to be a quarterback one in fantasy football, he's got to throw over 4,000 yards and he's got to throw over 30 touchdowns. Those are minimum benchmarks, folks, if you're not going to have that rushing ability in today's fantasy football landscape. So if you're drafting Michael Penix Jr., you have to understand that you are drafting somebody that you hope is an over 4,000-yard passer and an over 30-touchdown passer. That's how he's going to have to produce for fantasy football purposes, because he is not going to produce on the ground. But I'll tell you, John, what produces on the ground, through the air, digitally, wherever you find it, the Rookie Big Board resources over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. You get access to our super active Discord with actionable trade advice, roster overhaul advice. We're going to help you with your rookie draft picks once those kick off here. You have the 2024 rookie guide, one-on-one draft strategy calls. You have our dynasty rankings, our Devy rankings, and of course, the deepest and most accurate rookie rankings out there, all available for just $5 a month or 15% off now with an annual membership. Now's the time, folks. Now's the time. If you're listening, if you're watching to all of these rookie profiles, we haven't even scratched the surface. There is way more content available for you over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. All right, John. So I mentioned it here. There's a lot of college production to talk about. So let's plug Michael Penix Jr. into your model and let's see what gets spit out.
I try to be honest and look at my model as objectively as I can. And right now, there is a runaway narrative on Michael Penix. There are people proclaiming he's a lock stock first round pick and people who I respect. So I have to take their opinion in consideration right now at the national media level. I have a second round grade, Matt, and my model has warning signals, not red flags, but some warning signals about him. First, you mentioned the lack of rushing upside. Ultimately, Matt, you and I are here to help dynasty and redraft and fantasy owners. Matt, he just doesn't have the rushing upside. In six seasons, over only 265 career rushing yards. Matt, that's not good. He has rushing equity. His top year was 5%. So you're not going to get even that. I don't think you get 200 rushing yards and three touchdowns on the grade, on the ground, which will limit you. I agree, Matt. The narrative is that he's really accurate. And I really do say, Matt, is it Odunze, Polk, and McMillan? Because the numbers say 63.3% in his career, which, Matt, falls below my benchmark. Just as an example, Spencer Rattler was 68.5. Name four receivers that Spencer Rattler had. So there's a big difference, right? And I will say Caleb DeBoer, his coach, who's now at Alabama, is an extraordinarily good coach of the passing game. So Michael Penix benefited greatly from incredible teammates and good coaching. Passing efficiency, 146.6. He doesn't hit my benchmark of 155. I'm not saying my model, Matt, will always identify and rank every quarterback. It's a complex position, but I do trust it. So if we were talking last summer, Michael Penix was my number four Devy quarterback. He has now fallen to number six. And someone, I went on a show, a friend of mine, Jason, over the in October. And he asked me, well, what is Michael Penix doing wrong to fall? He said, he's not doing anything wrong. J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels just played better football. That it wasn't that Michael Penix, he's played excellent for 2 years in a row. But I've got to look at the other competitors at the quarterback position. I've got to look at my model, and I trust it. I have some concerns, Matt. At the end of the day, what should fantasy footballers know about Michael Penix?
All right, let's put it all together here, John. The big question that we're trying to answer is when, where, and should you at all draft Michael Penix Jr.? So let's start with the draft capital conversation. And this might be controversial right off the bat. And listen, I've missed on draft capital projections, but at the end of the day, I'm giving my honest opinion and what I think is going to happen. I am day too late, John. Picks 51 to 102 overall. That's still where I think Michael Penix Jr. is going. I know there's big mock drafts out there that have him going pick 11, right? And I know that a lot of folks feel like he could be the guy that somebody trades up for in the back end of the first round. Or, you know, you got that run in the 40s in the round two. I understand, folks. What I think we're not talking about enough is those medicals. We don't know what the medicals are in Indianapolis, right? He's got a long injury list from college. That's going to leave him off of some teams' lists, right? Everybody keeps plugging him into the Raiders. What if the Raiders didn't like his medicals? You know, that's one team off the board with two picks in the first and second round that could be a quarterback. That starts to eliminate options. And, you know, if some of these other teams like Spencer Rattler, like Bo Nix Moore, it's easy to see a scenario where Penix Jr. falls outside of the top 50. That's where I have him now. That's where I'm going to have him until I hear his name called sooner. That is what my honest evaluation is, John. You said you had a day two grade on him or a round two grade on him. You know, pick 55, pick 60. It's absolutely where Michael Penix Jr. could be going. With that, with all the momentum we've talked about, I do expect his Superflex rookie ADP to land mid-second round. I think he's going to end up going in a very similar spot with Bo Nix. He's been lumped in with Bo Nix in every conversation, everything along the way here, and I think his ADP is just going to land right in a similar spot there. Mid-second round, 205 to 208. If that happens, John, I'm going to have a full fade exposure here, 0 to 10%. If I draft him, it'll be by accident. You know, I went to click the guy above him, my finger slipped, and I accidentally took Michael Penix Jr. on sleeper, something along those lines. I'm not in on that price. I don't see the upside there. You know, for me, the value point, it's in the third round. It's in the mid to late third round. I talked about the challenges he has in terms of carving a fantasy football path in front of him. My fantasy football value comparison, it's going to be Gardner Minshew. That could be his new teammate, you know, for all the rumors of him going to Las Vegas. You know, it could be in a quarterback battle. Even if they use second round draft capital on him, I don't think there's any guarantee that he beats out Gardner Minshew in a quarterback battle. So I think that they'd go in a similar range in dynasty startups. You know, neither one of these guys being a quarterback that you have a ton of confidence in, or you could easily project as a quarterback one, but when they're in stride, when they're doing well, they're going to be in that quarterback two to quarterback three type range. So in that, what I would call my flex filler tier, that's where I could see Michael Penix Jr. at his peak going, John. But overall, for me, I'm going to have very little exposure. It's going to be a full fade for Michael Penix. Unlike the resources available over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard, no fading those, because we have the super active Discord, trade advice, roster advice, rookie draft advice. We have the rookie guide. We have the one-on-one consultation calls. And most importantly, we have the accurate insight and depth of our rookie Devy and dynasty rankings over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. And as always, we appreciate you checking out this rookie profile.